Our scripture reading this morning comes from the letter to the Hebrews. I'll be reading from the 11th chapter of that letter, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 8 through 16. These are some familiar words within the Christian community. And so, as we often listen to familiar words, the invitation to us is to listen with new ears. So let us listen for God's word in our lives. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old. And Sarah herself was barren because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. They confess that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, God has prepared a city for them. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. What is faith? We already heard Scott asked that question to the children up here a few minutes ago. And I would like for us to consider the same question for the next few moments. What is faith? We use the word all the time, especially in churches. We even refer to religious communities as communities of faith. Is faith a noun, a prescribed set of beliefs to which we adhere in order to be called faithful, as in the Christian faith or the Presbyterian faith? Is it a thing? Is faith sure, certain, and unchanging? The word and concept of faith is, in some ways, I think, a lot like the word and concept of love. We use the word so often and so casually to express numerous ways of relating and feeling that we somehow dilute its meaning and its power. Our reading from Hebrews this morning draws us back into the nuance and the power of faith. First and foremost, we are reminded that faith is not tangible. It is unseen. It is not visible. Faith is not religious knowledge that is passed on. That's doctrine. That's not faith. We pass on doctrines and teachings and beliefs within a particular religious tradition, and for us, within Christianity. We oftentimes call that our faith, when in actuality, it is the doctrine of faith. Hebrews tells us that faith is really more akin to how we use the word trust. To trust, to have confidence and assurance that is based on experience. Very important distinction that faith is not based in knowledge. Faith is based in experience. We learn to trust through experience. I trust in something or someone because I have a history, however long or short, a history of assurance that the person or the thing will continue to be what I have experienced it to be in the past. That's trust, and it grows out of experience. And in many ways, faith is more akin to trust. Faith is also action-based. And it is action that is based on past experience. Without total assurance of the outcome or the results of that action. Contrary to common understanding, doubt is not the opposite of faith. As a matter of fact, doubt is actually and always intrinsically and essentially at the core of faith. It's the not knowing that leads us into faith. The opposite of faith is actually certitude. If we already have all the answers and we're sure that things are the way they are, then we leave no room for faith. Faith is about letting go of the future. We see this in Abraham as he sets out to receive an inheritance, the story tells us. And I love this little phrase. He sets out not knowing where he was going. You know, Peg and I just spent a few days up in an area of the country where we had not been before, the coast of Maine. And we met some friends who were vacationing up there, and it was rather serendipitous that we found out they were there. And they were inland, and we were on the coast, and we met in Portland one day to have lunch. And as we were having lunch, our friend says, "Well, where are you staying tonight?" And we said, "We don't know." And he nearly panicked. "You don't know where you're staying tonight?" "Well, no, we were just going to find a place." "Well, what about the rest of the week?" "Well, we really haven't decided that yet. We're just going to see where we end up at the end of the day." But his idea was that everything had to be planned. Faith is not like that. Faith lets go of the future. It's not knowing where we are going. Faith is about letting go of conventional wisdom that tells us that the future depends on youth and virility. Our tradition, our biblical tradition, continually, time and again, tells us that the experience of God works in old, barren people and places. Did you catch that phrase from the reading that says, from one person, and this person as good as dead, descendants were born? Contrary to the conventional wisdom of our culture, God continues to work in us regardless of our age. And our tradition tells us that some of the most dramatic moments in the history of our faith tradition come in these old, barren places. Now, another, and perhaps I think nearly most important insight into faith from this story is that faith in the present is about the future. Now, yes, faith comes from our experience, but it is about the future. The reading says, all of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. It's about a future that we really can't even see. We had a friend in Washington who worked with PEG in workforce development areas, and they were worked with the field of manufacturing for a number of years. And she used to say, you know, the manufacturing jobs that we are talking about today don't even exist yet. Now that's faith. As I mentioned, Peg and I were away for a few days of vacation last week. And toward the middle of the week, we received word that our brother-in-law in central Pennsylvania had died. So we had to rearrange our plans and make our way to Pennsylvania for a couple of days before coming on back to Florida. And yesterday morning, I had the honor of officiating at his memorial service. And I shared this story about our brother-in-law, John, that speaks to this notion about faith for the future. Because the last thing John did, the last big thing John did just this past Monday, when he was feeling good, is he got out in a meadow out in front of their house, which is out in rural Pennsylvania, and he did something that he would do every year. He actually had his sons help him. They plowed up a big plot of land. And then John got out there by himself, and he sowed and fertilized that plot in turnips. It was a feeding plot for the deer. Because he and our sister Beverly loved to sit on their front porch and watch the deer, especially during the winter time. They would still come and dig up the turnips that were beneath the surface. And he did that last Monday. Now, he was feeling better, but he knew how sick he was. And he knew there was a very real, if perhaps not so imminent, possibility that what he was planting there in that plot, he would not enjoy watching. He knew that, but he went ahead and did it anyway. He planted that plot because he knew that the deer would still come and somebody would be there to enjoy it. The Iroquois nations lived by the law of seven generations, which in brief says, in every deliberation, we must consider the impact on the seventh generation. I found something online that I trust comes from the Constitution of the Iroquois Nations, where they wrote what they called the Great Binding Law. Listen to this. In all of your deliberations in the Confederate Council, in your efforts at lawmaking, in all your official acts, self-interest shall be cast into oblivion. Cast not over your shoulder behind you the warnings of nephews and nieces should they chide you for any error or wrong you may do, but return to the way of the great law which is just and right. Look and listen for the welfare of the whole people and have always in view not only the present but also the coming generations. Even those whose faces are yet beneath the surface of the ground, the unborn of the future nation. This is what faith is really about. We have faith in God. We have faith that we live in the eternal presence of the creating God who provides. And as Jesus often told us in his parables, we are the sowers of the seed. Many times and most times, not aware of what will be produced from those seeds. So as a country, as a community, as a congregation, we are living in a time when we desperately need faith. Faith that looks ahead. Faith that plants seeds for the future. Casting aside our individual needs and thinking of the common good for our congregation, for our community, for our nation, for our planet. Faith, that unseen thing that keeps us moving forward into places we do not even know yet. Amen. My friends, we are a community of faith. And the writer of the letter of Hebrews reminds us of the nuance and the power of faith. And at the very core of this is this notion of letting go. If we hold it too tight, or if we try to plan it too much, then the way becomes our way and not God's way. So we are reminded this morning to open our hearts, to open our minds to the leading of the Spirit, to show us the way into the promise we have been given. So let us leave this place today knowing that what is ahead of us is far greater than what is behind us. And we are called to follow Jesus on that path. Amen.